Det är Anto Nostra, det är Litta. This passage from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, one time secretary of St. Peter, is a continuation of that record of the conversation between our Lord and St. Peter and the apostles and the rest of the crowd following them, means all of us, one way or another. When our Lord asked St. Peter, and he was intended that he would speak in the name of everybody, you and I, you and me included, who do you think I am? What's public opinion say? Well, possibly Moses, the prophet, one of the prophets, Elias, possibly John the Baptist. So what do you think I am? Who do you think I am? Both forms are important. Who and what? Who am I? And what will I be able to accomplish? And the short formula for responding, you are the Christ. It means you are the anointed Savior, the promised Savior, who in fact is the Son of the Blessed One, the Son of God. The phrase of the high priest, when our Lord was up for trial and condemnation, make it perfectly clear that everybody expected the Savior to be a divine person, the anointed one, the Christ. Well, what does it mean to confess the identity of Jesus, to recognize him for whom he is and what he intends to do? It means we must follow him. When St. Peter, after our Lord had prophesied exactly the road he was going to take, handed over to the Gentiles, that is the Romans, be condemned to crucifixion, die on the cross, and be buried, and on the third day rise. And St. Peter couldn't see any connection between a cross and glory, perhaps between the crib at Bethlehem, but not between the cross and glory. Lord, never will I permit my Lord and my God to be crucified, and our Lord called him Satan. We know he did not mean that in the malicious way sense of the term. You call somebody a Satan, that's to diabolize him. It doesn't always indicate very goodwill to the person who's diabolized. But in this case, our Lord means something else. He means that if we think in a worldly wise way, we are thinking like Satan. Please come and follow me. But in case, and a lot of people think it was only St. Peter who deserved the epithet, the rest of us are lily pure. We don't have worldly thoughts. We're always very, very respectable, and God bends over backwards to wait on us because we are so worldly wise. We'd never do a thing like that. So our Lord called the crowd. Crowd here is a way of saying everybody to listen. Everybody is included in this. Everybody should recognize me, the divine Savior, and follow me. Yes, follow me means all the way to Calvary. But that's the only road that goes ultimately to, it doesn't stop at Calvary. It doesn't stop here. Now, Lord made that very clear. Who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, whoever shares in this sacrifice, and it really is his sacrifice, not another one, the sacrifice, the only one that pleases the Father, the only prayer that guarantees hearing, acceptance. Our Lord said, if you don't want to renounce yourself, if you don't want to deny yourself, if you don't want to come and walk in my footsteps, you're going to lose your life. And if you're willing to lose your life for me, that is, unite yourself with me on the cross, you're going to find life. Though you die, you will continue to live. And then he adds, as though by way, we all want to know, what's the reason? Very simple. What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your life? It means here eternal life, life forever in heaven. And more exactly, in the old translations, it's in the Greek, lose your soul. Not to have heavenly bliss eternally, to have eternal condemnation, that is eternal death, spiritual death, even though, as it were, there will be a resurrection of the unjust. So these are words, as it were, we can all understand. We don't need three PhDs, one from Harvard, one from Oxford, and one from Tübingen, or Berlin, wherever you want to think is the most prestigious place to get a degree. Have three of them. All three things are perfect, was the old axiom in Latin. Omni trinum perfectum. Well, it counts also for, as it were, if you have all the degrees in the world and you lose your soul, you lose eternal life that is blessedness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. All those paradoxes. You say, how can the poor be blessed? If you're poor with Jesus and Mary, you already are beginning to be blessed now. Their poverty is infinitely more blessed than the most material success, the most political power, the most academic renown. On the bestseller list every week in the New York Times or the London Times, or wherever they put bestsellers. But all of that, as it were, meaning without the one thing necessary, Mary has chosen the better part, and it shall not be taken from her. Yes, we must work, but always remember, work is not forever. But the enjoyment of the company, the contemplation of the face of Jesus, that is eternal joy. To see him, says St. John in his first letter, to see him is to be like him in glory. Even now, when we see him through faith, this, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who taketh away the sins of, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. Nonetheless, you make me worthy. You want to come to me. Blessed are we when we open the door and let him come into our bodies, into our souls, into our hearts, and make his dwelling there as he once made his dwelling in the Immaculate Womb of Our Lady. So we need to attend very carefully to the end. But he says at the end here, there are those alive. Remember, this is less than a year from the Caesarea Philippi, when they're beginning that journey up to Jerusalem, going through the villages of Galilee, up to Jerusalem for the great triumph. Can you believe that triumph is in the exaltation up? But that's the way it has worked out. That is the basis of the continual triumph of the Church. G.K. Chesterton once wrote a book called The Everlasting Man. The 12 funerals of the Church, there, something like that, already. They had the undertakers there, the grave was dug. What happened? Well, the undertakers are in the grave and the Church is still here. Her tribulations and trials, but she is still and continuing to be triumphant. There is an unbroken line of succession from St. Peter. The voice of Peter is still heard in Benedict. This is simply a fact. Who made that possible? Not Peter, not Benedict, but Jesus, faithful to his word, spoken here. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That great gaping mouth looked like in the Mount Hermon before it, above Caesarea Philippi, called the jaws of death, the jaws of hell. And right nearby, this is the most, that pagan temple Herod built to the goddess of Pan, goddess of sexuality, the culture of impurity, the culture of death, jaws of hell. But to believe Jesus and to live that faith and walk in his death, just like Our Lady on the Good Friday, there is the beginning of the culture of life, that even though we die, we will continue to live. Jesus guarantees that, just as he guarantees the security of the Church. It's rock-like. No matter what the storms, when they're all over, the Church will be there. And now what we want to do, as it were, to recognize, yes, the Transfiguration follows in a few days on this particular conversation. The admonition is an act of charity. It's a wake-up call. Wake up. Our Lady does it in a very delicate way. People wonder, where does she get this prayer and penance from? Why, it's a beautiful three-word summary of what our Lord is continually saying in the Gospel: to renounce ourselves, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, or take up his cross, share it. We don't have to take up a cross by ourselves. We need only unite whatever suffering, whatever disappointments, whatever humiliations, whatever ever unexpected disasters come. Just unite it, the Lord, and continue to walk in his footsteps. You will not be disillusioned, never. He is the only one who can guarantee that kind of hope, that kind of expectation, that kind of yearning desire, which is in all our hearts, says St. Augustine, restless until they rest in thee, O Lord, because we were all, each one of us personally, with all our quirks, was made for him, and he wants us so much. Our Lady, handmaid of the Lord. Handmaid really means slave of the Lord. She slaved for him because she loved him so much, but she didn't become a slave in the worldly sense of the term. She found that freedom, the only freedom that is genuine. So let us heed her when she says, pray and do penance. What good are our prayers if they're not part of our Lord's great priestly prayer on Calvary, it's continued in the Mass? And what good are our sufferings, but how good they are when they are united with those of Jesus, for ourselves, but as Our Lady points out, for everyone else. If we confess then Jesus to be the Son of God, thou art the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed One, who is all blessed, the only all blessed, she's God. So if we confess him, we should follow him above all in that love, that charity, that reflects the charity of the Father who so loved the world that he sent his dearly beloved Son to become the child of Mary and to offer himself as a propitiation for our sins. Today is Friday, also reminds us of Good Friday, of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's the sixth day, but on the eighth day, the first day that never ends, and he rose from the dead. Let us contemplate Our Lady, be it done to me according to thy word. What did Our Lady mean ultimately? Be it done to me, be the sorrowful mother. The mother, as it were, who gives birth to the church, to each of us spiritually, sharing, compassionate with Jesus, compassionate, merciful to us. If we live with her, we will have no difficulty understanding the devotion of the first Saturdays, reparation to her Immaculate Heart, so that the triumph of Jesus in the church might be, it is Jesus' triumph when the Immaculate Heart is also our hearts. Praise be Jesus and Mary.